Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to worship, and as always, please take time to sign the guest card. Also, hope you enjoyed Coffee Hour. We thank Vacation Bible School for hosting Coffee Hour. Nicole Olds and her family have all been involved, and our directors and directors in training and all the teachers and helpers. So much time has already gone into this Vacation Bible School that doesn't start till tomorrow. And so we thank all our volunteers. We have 310 young people that will be showing up at Redeemer every week, or every day of the week, so it should be a great week. Also, congregational meeting today following the 10:30 service in the gymnasium. We'd love to have you attend. Also, the Birmingham Concert Band has a concert here today at Redeemer at 3 o'clock. All are cordially invited. And Camp Restore, we've been getting more and more involved with Camp Restore in Detroit. And we're signing up for a number of meals. People come from around the country, stay at Camp Restore, do work within the Detroit area, helping the needy and poor. And if you could help with a meal, check that out in your announcement. We have one coming up June 27th. And JAMS, our middle schoolers, they have a lock-in this Friday. And starting this Tuesday, our middle schoolers throughout the whole summer have an opportunity to gather together at church every Tuesday from 5:30 to 7:30. And women's Bible study, they're starting a new Bible study this week, and it's the early church, should be really good. Don't forget, when you're out of town, we have Monday night service at 7:30 in the gym, or in the chapel. It's about a half hour long, so it's nice and short. Starting in the summer, we're gonna have at 7 o'clock a social hour. So take, for example, tomorrow the elders are hosting, they're gonna have hot dogs and chips for everybody. And the following week, we'll have somebody else hosting and giving us some food and opportunity for fellowship. So please remember that. Also, to our prayer list, we remember the family of Shirley Hostetter. She was called to her heavenly home this last week. The details concerning the celebration of her life have not been put in place yet, but feel free to call the church office. Also, Hedda Reuther is probably going to be going home to see her heavenly father today. And we pray that it will be a wonderful celebration for her. So we obviously remember her son and all her friends and family in prayer. We rise for opening song.
God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band of shining worlds in splendor through the skies, our grateful song sing our praise to you, our grateful songs we sing before you now, thy love divine hath led us in the past, in this free land. Fathers, we love you, Lord. God of our fathers, we lift our praise to you. From war's alarms, from deadly pestilence, be thy strong arm our ever sure defense.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God, our Heavenly Father. Gracious Heavenly Father, we confess that we have not loved you as we ought, nor have we loved our neighbor as we love ourselves. We deserve your righteous wrath and eternal punishment. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, your Father, forgive us. Show us compassion, create in us new and clean hearts, that we might love and serve you and our neighbor, cleansed by the blood of Christ. Our Father, God, hears the repentant cries of his children. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by the Heavenly Father's holy command, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Invite the children to come up for the children's sermon. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, VBS this week. I'm so excited. Isn't that going to be great? I love VBS. And I did children's sermon at 9 o'clock, and my wife heard it, and she said, you can't do that children's sermon again. That was totally, you can't talk about dads that way. So I'm going to still tell you what I said, but I'm going to change my children's sermon before I tell you what I said. Okay? Does that make sense? Well, never mind.
I did want
to go again. Did it? Yeah, yeah. So, you see the cross I'm wearing today? It's a special cross. It's not that big or anything, but it's special to me. My mom had it made, and there's rubies on the end, and those came from my grandma. She's in heaven. So those are rubies, and then there's two diamonds in the middle. One came from my mom's wedding ring, and one came from my dad's wedding ring. My dad's in heaven also, but I wore today because it's Father's Day, and I'm thinking about my dad. You know, he's so special to me. He's still around. He's just in heaven. He's not here. But boy, he's left an impact on my life, and I'll never forget that. And today we're celebrating dads or grandpas or those special men in our life who give so much to us. And so today is a day to say thank you. Now, the 9 o'clock children's sermon that my wife said, you can't say that. I put this little fake cockroach on the ground. And I was sitting down, itching my leg, saying, ooh, there's something on my leg. And I jumped up and said, a cockroach. And I stepped on it. And I said, it must have come from the parsonage. That's where I live.
Yeah.
And then I told everybody, you know, a cockroach, they're amazing. They can be underwater for 40 minutes and survive. They go 3 miles an hour, which in human terms would be 200 miles an hour. They're fast. And if you cut off their head, they'll live for a week. Can you believe that? Because they breathe through their whole body, not just their nose. And so you can cut off their head, and the only reason they'll die is because they can't drink water. And so they survive about a week. And then they said, cockroaches are a lot like dads. You can't get rid of them. Dads are always there. And that's why I want you to remember, your dad is always a part of who you are. And celebrate him and thank him today. And yes. You wish you could be a cockroach. Someday you'll be a dad and your kids will think of that way. Thanks for coming up. Have fun in Sunday school.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 21. When King David heard all this, he was furious. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Here ends the epistle reading.
Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a certain citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. No one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, All these years, I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Here ends the Holy Gospel. Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is so nice to see so many people here today, especially on a Father's Day. I mean, typically Mother's Day, I love preaching on Mother's Day because the place is full. All moms want, what do you want for Mother's Day? Oh, just come to church. I want the pew full. Come to church. And I love it. And then Father's Day, usually guys are out golfing. So it's so good. Yeah, I don't want to be here either, but it's so good to see so many men. You know, on this Father's Day, men's role is so important in our society, our culture, what you do within the household. And it's also important because in many ways, a father's role represents the Heavenly Father's role. I chose the story of the prodigal son today as our gospel lesson. I think it's one of the best parables Jesus spoke. They're all good, but this one is so powerful. And it has such a lesson. Now, what brought this story on, the religious leaders were so unhappy with Jesus. He keeps, sinners are just attracted to him. And he never pushed them away. The prostitutes came to him, the tax collectors, the outcasts, all the people the religious leaders didn't want as part of God's family. And so as a result of them grumbling against Jesus, he speaks this parable. Actually, he speaks three. And perhaps they should be handled as one with three compartments. But he has, after the prodigal son, he has the good shepherd, and then he has the woman looking for the lost coin. And what he's really talking about is the role of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we're just looking at the one that deals with the Father. And so he tells a story of and how many times it's really occurred in life, of a boy who runs away from home. But before we talk about the boy who runs away from home, one of the brilliant things with Jesus' story, he starts to tell a story and he catches you off guard. And you fall into the story. And before you know it, you're one of the characters in the story. And so at the end of the story, we're told about the boy who stayed home. Who stayed home. When he came up to the house that day after another long day of working in the fields for Dad, he hears music, the noise of a party. What's going on? Oh, your brother. Yeah, the one who ran away, he's back. Your dad's throwing a party, a big party. He's so unhappy, he won't go in. So unhappy. Really, the title of it's a story of not one prodigal son, but it's two prodigal sons. Now the boy who stayed at home has run away. He's outside on the stoop. He's not part of the family. He's outside on the stoop, and he's complaining and grumbling. Listen, did you listen to what he said to his father? I slaved for you. That boy didn't want to be there. He did what he thought was right, and he did it for all the wrong reasons. That's what the religious leaders were falling into, that trap. They were trying to live a life of perfection, and if anybody couldn't live up to that perfection, they were on the outs. And they thought somehow they could gain God's favor by living and doing the right thing. And so when they see sinners coming to Jesus and being received, they're unhappy. Because supposedly they did all the right things. Well, they did all the right things for all the wrong reasons. If the boy truly loved his father, he'd have been happy to see his brother, his brother home and his father happy. He grumbles and complains, I slave for you. And this is the genius of the parable. Jesus doesn't finish it. He leaves the second prodigal on the stoop. The religious leaders have to answer it. How are they going to respond? Are they going to stay outside the party, or are they going to come and welcome their brothers and sisters home? Now, the first prodigal, man has two sons. The first prodigal says, Dad, I want my inheritance now. Basically, he's saying, because you don't get the inheritance until somebody dies, till the dad dies. They're basically saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. I'm going to live my life as if you were dead. And I'm going to do my own thing. Give me my money. Father gives the money. The boy leaves. The boy leaves in pursuit of something else that he thinks is going to bring satisfaction and happiness and joy in his life. He's going to live as if the father doesn't exist. Now take note. The father doesn't keep his son from leaving. He doesn't grab hold of him with his hands and say, no, you have to stay. Can't do it. He's an adult. Gotta let him go. And the boy leaves. Now, I think when we read the story, we often get caught up in the first prodigal story. We rarely think about the father. How do you think the father felt at this time? And maybe there's some moms and dads with us today that have actually had a prodigal in their house, a son or daughter who said basically, gee, I wish you were dead, because I'm going to live as if you don't exist. How do you feel when a child does that to you? You feel betrayed. You wonder, what did I do wrong? You feel a righteous frustration. How can you walk out on me? I may have not been perfect, but how can you leave me like this? How can you just walk away? There's a lot of pain. Probably fear and worry for the safety of that son or daughter. I wonder how many times the dad prayed for the prodigal, wondering if he's all right, wondering if he's being taken care of, or if he's found love. I bet all those things went through his mind. I wonder how many times that dad looked out the window down the path, or every time he opened that door and went over the porch, that he'd look down that path. He said, today, will he come home? Will he ever? Meanwhile, the boy squandered the wealth. has nothing to show for it. Has no friends, the money's gone. And now he's feeding pigs. There's a famine in the land, he's feeding pigs. And you know, to the Jews, pigs were unclean animals. Jesus is saying, this guy is really unclean, like the prostitutes, like the tax collectors, like the outcasts, he's unclean. And all of a sudden he comes to his senses. What am I doing here? What kind of poor decision did I make? I left the security of the home. I left my father's love. I left it all. I know I can't be a son again, but maybe I can be a servant. Maybe I can find a place. And you can imagine on his way home, he rehearsed it how many times. Dad, forgive me. I sinned against heaven. God, I sinned against you. Let me be your servant. Show some mercy. Did he wonder, wow, will you even let me be a servant? And as he's making his way home, as he gets close to home, his father sees him from a distance. Who is that? Oh, I know that walk. I taught that boy how to walk. That's my son. He's on his way home. He's on his way home. What does he do? He runs. We're told he ran. And for a man, a mature man, running was not dignified. You'd have to hike up your gown and run. And he did. He didn't care about what other people thought. He ran to see his son. And before his son could make a confession, he showers him with kisses. He welcomes him home. He says, you're my son. You're part of the family. You were lost, but now you're found. You were dead, but now you are alive. He's so happy. Now, at this point of the story, you may say, well, if I was the father, would I do different? Shouldn't there have been some type of lecture? Right? Shouldn't there have been some type of discipline? You know, so often people try to come back to us after maybe some difficult, tense times. And we feel that we are so in the right that we have to make them say something. By the fact of them just coming back, they're saying it. They're sorry. They're looking for an embrace. They're looking for a welcome, not a lecture. So often we do that. We do that to our kids. We do that to people we work with. We do that to people in our family. They're making the way back. Maybe you've been in that situation. You're making the way back just by going back, just by humbling yourself. You don't need to hear the words. You just need to be loved. Now maybe you're thinking, well, why doesn't the father say something? You know, shouldn't he be disciplined? Isn't discipline important? Yes. But don't you see the discipline this boy needed came to him in the field of the pigs. When he hit rock bottom, he was disciplined. He didn't need any more discipline. You know, when I was a kid, my dad had, you know, those paddles with the ball? And you know, that was a long time ago. They made paddles really thick, you know? And that ball fell off some time ago, but my dad found a use, you know, recycle. He found a use for that paddle. It just went this way. It was red and had a black handle. You got in trouble, you're going to get the paddle. You know what? I just start crying. I pull a nose hair. I had a lot of hair as a boy. Pull a nose hair, you start to cry. No, I didn't. Though they teach you at seminary when you're asking for money, pull a nose hair so you tear up and get everybody emotionally caught up. No, I would cry. And because I cried, he wouldn't spank me. What was the point of the spanking? I'm already going through the process. You see, and the boy already went through it. Discipline is important. Our reading from Hebrews today. God disciplines us like fathers discipline their children. You know, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. That word painful not only goes to the one receiving the discipline, it goes to the one giving. Parents, when you were kids, you thought your parents enjoyed it, didn't you? Then you get in that position of passing out discipline, and it's not easy. It hurts. It's not easy to correct your child, to tell your child they're wrong. But there's a purpose, and you're not punishing. Don't call it punishment. You know, so often we think when something bad happens in our life, God is punishing us. That can't be the case. That can't be. God punished his son on the cross of Calvary. He disciplines us. Not to drive us away, but to drive us home, to bring us back. Discipline has a purpose. Later on, however, produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You are trying to change a behavior when you discipline a child. And listen, children want discipline. They're always pushing the envelope. They want to know what's too far. They want to know what's wrong and what's right. And discipline shows that you love them. And they know that deep down. Just like when we were disciplined as children. And so discipline has a purpose. And God is trying to draw us to him. Throughout Scripture, Deuteronomy 8:5, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you. Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. God is not getting us back. He is drawing us back. That's his purpose. That's his intent. And without discipline, things could fall apart. Do you like our Old Testament lesson for today? One verse. Wow. Because the gospel lesson was so long. Just one verse. But I wanted to pique your interest. Why is David angry? David is angry with his son, Amon. Amon, David heard the news, what Amon did. Amon liked his half-sister, Tamar. He liked her and thought she was beautiful. He lured her into a bad situation and raped his half-sister. You think King David, you think all these people in the Bible are saintly? No, they are not stained glass, but certainly stained with the realities of life. King David could run a kingdom, but he couldn't run his own household. Amon rapes his half-sister. David gets mad about it, but that's all we hear. He did nothing about it. 2 years pass. Absalom, the full brother of Tamar, is going to take matters in his own hands now. And he has his brother, his half-brother Amon, killed. And then he strategizes a coup and almost takes his father's kingdom from him. That's all because David showed no discipline in the home. There was a vacuum created. Discipline is important. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. That doesn't mean we treat all children the same, and you want a good Christian adult, you dump this in and that in, and it's going to turn out a great product. Not the case. The Hebrew word there indicates that you raise up a child according to their way. They're bent. They're all different. I have three. They're all different. Megan, the first, she knew how to play the game. She always told us, her parents, what they wanted to hear. We thought we had an angel. Then Stephanie and Jacob came along, and I can't talk about them because they're here in church. Though they are taking me out bar hopping for Father's Day. That's a good gift, huh? They're all different. And know that God treats us differently. Sometimes we look at people and say, why does God do this to me and not to them? We're all different. God is going to treat us according to our bent. He understands and knows us intimately. And he loves us like a daddy. In fact, in Romans, Paul says that we can call, imagine God who called all things into existence. We don't get to call him Father, we get to call him Abba, which means daddy. Such an intimate term. You graduates, hard for a daddy to let their kids go. You have moms and dads, grandparents, people who love you. And as we celebrate your achievements today, it's always hard to let you go. But we know we have a Heavenly Father that goes with you. And no matter where you're at, to be connected in faith is to be assured of all things turning out well. So we commend you. Never lose your way. If you become the prodigal, know that there's always home that awaits. The boys received home. There's a great celebration. Look at the front cover of the bulletin. It's Rembrandt's depiction of the prodigal. Rembrandt painted himself as the prodigal. Because he had walked away from God. But God had eventually brought him back. He shows himself hugging the Father. But look, you remember we talked about the hands holding on? God's not going to keep you against your will. But his hands are always open to welcome you. And look at the hands on the son. They're different. They're not the same hands. One is very masculine. One is very feminine. One is strong. One is soft. You know, sometimes God's love is depicted in the Bible as a motherly love, but most often a fatherly love. And to think you dads, grandpa, and some of you men out there, there are people who look to you as a father in many ways. My father's in heaven, but there's a number of Redeemer people, and you don't even have to be old, but I steal some of my dad from you because there's something about you. You know, you always need that. But think, dads, the image your children or grandchildren have of God, the Heavenly Father, comes from you. Comes from you. You represent so much. When God wanted to reveal himself, he says, I'm your father, I'm your daddy. Think about how you treat your children, because you're creating an image of God, the Heavenly Father. And no matter how far we wander from the truth, our God, his hands are open, they're strong, but they're gentle at the same time. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
If you are a VBS or VBS teachers and helpers, please rise. Well, for all of you that will help this week, we give thanks. We are so wonderfully blessed at Redeemer with the amount of volunteers that we have. And so we give you a blessing as you begin this week from our dear Lord and Savior. May our Lord and Heavenly Father, who taught Moses and all the prophets, give you the strength you need this week, as he commanded his people Israel to bind on themselves the signs of his works, so you will bind on these dear children the signs of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May he guard your hearts, minds, and hands in all that you do. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have brought us, your dear prodigal children, home. We know that we do not deserve what we have, but that you give all to us by showing your fatherly heart through our Son, your Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would continue to bless and keep us through his word and through the wonderful gifts that you give us. We ask these same gifts would be imparted to all those who are in grief, especially the Hostetter family, as they mourn the passing of Shirley. We ask that you would give them comfort and strength and hope of the resurrection. As you have called Shirley home, so you will call us all home. For all those facing health concerns, we ask that you would give comfort and strength, reminding them also that they are the prodigal children that can call you Father. Send them comfort and remind them that the hands of the doctors work at your bidding, and that their healing is assured in the resurrection. Especially we pray for Izzy, Mark Cahill, Caitlin, Linda, John, Bill Rolfe, Giovanna, Pat, Steve Husava, Gloria, Sarah, Paul and Christine, Charlene, Dash Allen, Jim and Jan Hogan, Bob Ernewine, Tom Demerick, George Bailey, Betty Chuslow, and Myra. For all those in hospice care, we ask that you would give them your strength as they go through what they need. We ask that you would give Marie Matthews this strength especially. Send her your Holy Spirit and remind her you are with her always. For all those who are homebound, remind them of the fellowship they have with your Holy Spirit and with all the saints on earth. Help us to always send them strength and encouragement. Especially we pray this day for Betty Pottinger. For President Trump and all world leaders, we ask that you would give them wisdom and help them to administer justice in our land, that we might have freedom to worship you. For all those who are serving in the military, we give you thanks. For those overseas, we pray for your protection. And for those at home, we ask that you would give us the support that we need to support them. For those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, we give you thanks. For Caitlin Schaefer and Andrew Buchinski, who were united as husband and wife in marriage yesterday, we give you thanks, and we pray your continued blessing on the union that you have established between them. For the sanctuary altar flowers placed by Gary and Jan Glotzauber, for the sanctuary lectern flowers placed by Kirk and Megan Dunlap, for the chapel altar flowers placed by John and Julie Schaefer, we give thanks for their beauty and for those who have given them. For the Family of God Soup Kitchen sponsors, the Pete Pridmore family, the McNaughton family, and Greg and Kathy Merriman. And for the Family of God Soup Kitchen and Positive Parenting sponsors, the Dobring family, Arnie Glessman, and Marge Motter. We give thanks for their generosity, and we ask that we also would be inspired by it to be generous to those in need. And we pray, Lord, as you have taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." May the peace of our Lord be with you always.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
We take this time to call up all the graduates. Please come and stand here at the altar. I'm sure it's felt like a long time coming for all of you, but our church, as well as we pastors, are so thankful and grateful to have you among us. I, being new myself, I've only seen you for a short time, but I give thanks for what I do know of you, and I know that as you have grown in knowledge, so you have grown in the fear of the Lord. So now receive the blessing from our dear Lord. May our Heavenly Father, who has created all knowledge for your good, continue to increase your knowledge as you go on and use the skills and abilities that he has given you. May you use them in the name of your son, of his son, Jesus Christ, and may they bless not only you, but all those around you, as you have been a blessing to us. Amen. And please turn towards the congregation. We give thanks for our graduates. Graduates, please stay up here and you'll recess with us. We'll have a greeting of all the graduates after. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Jesus.